from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
here is the news. First, the headlines. The Indonesian government says Indonesia's teacher-to-student ratio has been good. Hezbollah says it launches drone at sensitive military targets in Tel Aviv. Here is the detail. The Indonesian government says Indonesia's teachers-to-students ratio has been good. Head of the Policy Analysis and Advocacy Working Team at the Center for Education Standards and Policies of the Indonesian Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education, Lukman Solihin, conveyed that the ratio of teachers to school students in Indonesia is quite good. Until 2023, the ratio of teachers and students in Indonesia is 15.7 at all level educations. According to Lukman, at a public discussion "Proud to be a Teacher" organized by Dompet Duafa in Jakarta on Tuesday, 26th of November, the ratio of teachers and students in elementary and high school in Indonesia in 2017 was even better than a number of developed countries such as South Korea and Thailand.
Jadi, secara nasional, memang hasil kita sudah.
So nationally, our teacher ratio is quite good. Some dispute it, but isn't that national data? Yes, but when the national data is compared with other countries, it is also relatively like 11 or 12 with developed countries. So with Republic of Korea and South Korea, we are still better off. So our position is quite close to Singapore and Japan.
Moreover, Lukman acknowledged that there are problems with teachers' distributions. According to data from 2023, teacher shortages still occurred in several regions of Indonesia and in some subjects. However, he further said the issue of teacher shortages happened not only in Indonesia, but also an issue throughout the world. To overcome this problem, Lukman explained the Indonesian government has made various efforts, including the procurement of new teachers and the appointment of honorary teachers based on contract schemes, monitoring teacher distribution through the Teachers Equity Index, and transformations in teacher professional educations. Indonesian Army or TNI Task Force awarded for sewage construction in Central Africa. The Indonesian Defense Forces or TNI's Engineering Company Task Force, Kizi Garuda Contingent Konga 37J MINUSCA, successfully built a sewage treatment system in Central Africa. This was conveyed by Commander of the TNI Peacekeeping Mission Center, Major General Taufik Budi Santoso, at a press conference on Tuesday after welcoming the return of TNI Kizi Task Force Konga 77J MINUSCA. A total of 250 soldiers with the task force served with UN peacekeeping forces in Central Africa for a year from 2023 to November 2024. They are currently being replaced by new troops who are members of the TNI Kizi Task Force Konga 37K MINUSCA, squaded from Antara. Ministry conduct tourism promotion in China. The Indonesian Tourism Ministry conducted a wonderful Indonesia sales mission in China's Nanjing on November 20, 2024, to Shanghai on November 24 to draw tourists and meet the 14.3 million international tourist arrivals target for this year. According to the Ministry Deputy for Marketing, Ni Made Ayu Martini, in the statement released by her office on Tuesday, conveyed that China's rapidly growing economy and businesses have placed the country as one of the most crucial markets for Indonesians' tourism. She also underlined that the government is eyeing the arrival of up to 1.5 million Chinese tourists this year. Quoted from Antara. Indonesia urges swift action on Global Plastic Pollution Pact. Indonesia's Deputy Minister of Environment Dias Hendro Priyono has called for immediate negotiation to push the approval of an international agreement on plastic pollution. He made his call during the recent International Plastic Convention in Busan, South Korea, according to a statement from the Ministry of Environment released on Wednesday, 27th of November. Hendro Priyono led the Indonesian delegations at the convention's fifth sessions of the Intergovernmental Negotiation Committee, or INC5, to develop an international legally binding instrument on plastic pollution. This session holds significant value as it could lead to a treaty on plastic pollution at the same level as the 2015 Paris Agreement for Climate Change. Quoted from Antara. Hezbollah says launched drones at sensitive military targets in Tel Aviv. Lebanon's Hezbollah stated that it launched drones at sensitive military target in Tel Aviv on Tuesday evening, 26th of November, after deadly Israeli strikes in Beirut and as news of a ceasefire deal was announced. As reported by ArabNews.com on Wednesday, 27 of November, the group said in a statement that in response to the targeting of the capital Beirut and the massacre committed by the Israeli enemy against civilians, Hezbollah launched drones at a group of sensitive military targets in the city of Tel Aviv and its suburbs. Quoted from ArabNews.com. No one will win. Canada, Mexico, and China respond to Trump tariffs threats. Officials from Canada, Mexico, and China have warned US President-elect Donald Trump's pledge to impose sweeping tariffs on America's three largest trading partners could upend the economies of all four countries. As reported by BBC.com on Wednesday, Mexico's President Claudia Sheinbaum pointed out that one tariff will follow another in response and so on, until the government puts its common business at risk. Trump vowed on Monday night to announce 25% tariffs on goods coming from Mexico and Canada and an additional 10% on goods coming from China. He said the duties were a bit to clamp down on drugs and illegal immigrations. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said he spoke to Trump in the hours after the announcement and planned to hold a meeting with Canada's provincial leaders on Wednesday to discuss a response. Quoted from BBC.com. Especially valuable, Senior Minister Lee, President Xi hailed importance of Sino-Singapore cooperation amid troubled global climate. Amid the troubled geopolitical climate, Singapore and China leaders have hailed their warm bilateral relations and singled out the value of closer links in not just bringing about mutual benefit, but also contributing to regional peace and prosperity. As quoted by CNA.com, Singapore Senior Minister Lee Hsien Loong, during a meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping in Beijing on Tuesday evening, 26th of November, conveyed the bilateral cooperation is especially valuable given the more uncertain and troubled international environment. Mr. Li is on a six-day official visit to China. The senior minister pointed out intensifying tension between major powers, as well as the shifting priorities of countries. Instead of economic integrations and international multilateral cooperation, nations are increasingly turned to national security and supply chain resilience. Quoted from CNA.com. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Well, listeners, today's commentary is about Indonesia rejects Apple's $100 million US investment proposal. The Indonesian government has officially rejected Apple's investment proposal worth $100 million. According to Indonesia's Ministry of Industry, in a written statement as quoted by Kompas Techno on Tuesday, November 26, the investment proposal for 2024-2026 was deemed not to meet fair aspects. Apple's proposal is deemed not to fulfill four key fair aspects. The government hopes the company's future investment offers will exceed $100 million. With the investment's rejection, the iPhone 16 series will remain prohibited from being officially sold in Indonesia. Indonesian Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita outlined the four fair aspects and made the Apple's latest investment offer. First, the $100 million investment was deemed unfair compared to its investment in countries other than Indonesia. The Ministry of Industry didn't specify the comparison with other countries, but as previously reported, Apple has already invested about $16 billion in Vietnam. Therefore, its $100 million offer in Indonesia is tiny compared to Vietnam. The Ministry of Industry suggests that Apple establish a production facility or factory in Indonesia so that it doesn't have to submit an investment proposal every 3 years. Second, Apple's $100 million investment in Indonesia was considered unfair compared to other phone, tablet, and laptops brands' investment. Third, the government assessed that the company's investment offer didn't provide added value or contribute to state revenue. Fourth, its investment was also considered unfair regarding job creation in Indonesia. Indonesia's decision to reject Apple's investment proposal is deemed appropriate. Indonesia is an important market for Apple. According to the Ministry of Industry, its phone sales in Indonesia were the largest in Southeast Asia, reaching 2.61 million units last year. In comparison, Apple sold only 1.43 million units in Vietnam. It is reasonable for Indonesia to demand larger investment from Apple. Other mobile phones, handheld computers, and tablets brand have already established factories in Indonesia and have even built official retail stores across the country. These brands do not treat Indonesia merely as a market. They contribute to job creations. Hopefully, the Indonesian government and Apple will reach an agreement soon. That was commentary.
We begin today in history with November 27, 1971, when five ASEAN member states signed the establishment of the Zone of Peace, Freedom and Neutrality. The foreign ministers of Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, Singapore and Thailand met in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. The meeting resulted in the Kuala Lumpur Declaration on the Zone of Peace, Freedom and Neutrality, signed on November 27, 1971. In this declaration, the parties publicly expressed their commitment to keeping Southeast Asia free from any form or manner of external interference and expanding areas of cooperation. Next, on November 27, 2005, the world witnessed its first ever face transplant. A woman from Valenciennes, France, Isabelle de Noyer, became the first person to have a face transplant. Her face was severely injured after being attacked by her own dog, damaging her lower face, including her mouth, nose, lips, chin, and cheeks, with the most severe damage occurring around her mouth. On November 27, 2005, Isabelle underwent the groundbreaking operation at the Centre Hospitalier Universitaire Nord in Amiens, France. The surgery was carried out by Professor Bernard Devauchel and Professor Jean-Michel Dubernard. The operation was successful thanks to the organ donor and the skilled hands of the doctors. Isabelle's facial appearance improved significantly. We end today in history with November 27, 2009, when a United Nations resolution condemned Iran's nuclear program. On November 27, 2009, the United Nations Nuclear Agency, IAEA, passed a resolution criticizing Iran for secretly developing uranium enrichment. The IAEA also demanded Iran immediately suspend its nuclear projects. The resolution was passed with a vote of 25-3, with 6 abstentions. In September that year, Iran was found to have uranium enrichment facilities at Natanz and near the city of Qom. The resolution was notable for gaining support from Russia and China, a rare occurrence at the time. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Mentari pagi, beri salam lagi. Suara burungku sambut hari berganti. Bob Marley masih bernyanyi. Don't worry, oh yeah. Jalani semua dengan apa adanya. Biarlah waktu bicara bahwa takdirnya. Yo, kita lapangkan dada. Sesali, bikin saja happy. Mengalir, nikmati. Jangan bebani hati. Yo, kita nyanyi bersama. yuk kita nyanyi bersama.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Today's My Indonesia is entitled Industrial Downstreaming Boosts Indonesia's Economic Growth by 8%. Industrial downstreaming was the key to achieving the target of 8% economic growth in 2028-2029. This was stated by the Indonesian Trade Minister Budi Santoso in a Trade Ministry Google public lecture and a sharing session with the theme Glow Up in the Digital Era at Gajah Mada University, Yogyakarta on Monday. Budi Santoso said, by processing natural resources more deeply, Indonesia could not only increase the added value of products, but also create more and quality jobs. According to the minister, downstreaming is not just about processing raw materials, but also involves innovation and high technology. In the public lecture, Minister Budi also explained three main programs of the Ministry of Trade that would be the focus in strengthening the national economy. One of them is micro, small and medium enterprises, dare to innovate, ready to adapt, export, locally abbreviated as UMKM Bisa Ekspor. According to Budi, through this program, micro, small and medium enterprises will receive various support from training, access to financing, to assistance in terms of product marketing, such as the use of e-commerce and participation in National Online Shopping Day. Furthermore, Trade Minister Budi also said his ministry has collaborated with Gajah Mada University, which was marked by the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding on the implementation of the three duties of higher education and independent learning, independent campus. This Memorandum of Understanding is a strategic step to optimize the potential of human and intellectual resources owned by universities in supporting the national downstream program. At the end of his presentation, the minister wished the collaboration could be productive and produce various new innovations that could increase the added value of Indonesian products and strengthen competitiveness in the global market. That's today's My Indonesia from Voice of Indonesia.
Selama ini
Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder comes to greet you with the title Curug Malela. Curug Malela or Malela Waterfall is a breathtaking natural attraction showcasing the beauty of a stunning waterfall. Curug is the Sundanese word for waterfall. Located in West Bandung Regency, Curug Malela is often referred to as the Little Niagara or Mini Niagara. This tourism spot is perfect for relaxation and escape from the hustle and bustle of the city while enjoying the fresh air. It is called the Little Niagara because its wider water flow cascades powerfully between rocky cliffs, resembling the famous Niagara Falls on the border of the United States and Canada. Curug Malela stands about 60 meters tall and spans 70 meters wide. It features 5 waterfall streams blending with 7 additional cascades. Malela Waterfall sources its water from the northern headwaters of Mount Kandeng. The river flows down through the Cidadap River in Gunung Halu. Curug Malela's tiered shape and crystal clear water create a stunning natural landscape, with water crashing against the surrounding rocky cliffs. According to Perhutani's website, large, rounded, and flat stones are scattered along the riverbed beneath the waterfall. Visitors can enjoy splashing in the water or playing in the foam created by the falls. If you're lucky, you might even spot monkeys peeking out from the lush greenery surrounding the waterfall. Accessing Curug Malela is relatively easy. From Bandung City, the capital of West Java Province, you can head to Cicadas Village Office. From there, it's about a 3 km journey to reach Curug Malela in West Bandung Regency. The waterfall is located near popular tourism areas like Lembang, Maribaya, and Jayagiri, specifically in Kampung Manglid, Cicadas Village, Rongga Sub-District, West Bandung Regency, West Java Province. Although the location is remote, nestled in the forest and surrounded by hills, it's worth the effort. If you're traveling by motorbike, you'll need to take a 2 km path about 1 meter wide through Perhutani land. There is a designated parking area near the waterfall. Curug Malela is open daily from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. with entrance fee ranging from 10,000 rupiah to 12,000 Indonesian rupiah per person. That was Indonesian Wonder.
Terjalin hubungan asmara.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Dear listeners, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which introduces you to Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak an Indonesian language. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, the Overseas Service of Radio Republik Indonesia, and the Language Center and Development Agency at the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Di Desa Budaya Suku Dayak. Di Desa Budaya Suku Dayak, which means in the Dayak Cultural Village. Stay tuned. You will listen to a conversation entitled Wow. Wow, which means wow or ow. This conversation takes place between Chris, an Australian vlogger and a resident of Pampang Cultural Village, Samarinda City, in East Kalimantan. Chris expresses amazement when he sees a Dayak woman with long ears. Let's listen to their conversations.
Wow, banyak sekali anting ibu itu, sampai telinganya menjadi panjang.
Konon dalam masyarakat suku Dayak, wanita dengan telinga panjang itu cantik.
Apakah anak muda di sini masih melakukan tradisi itu?
After listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary related to today's material. I will pronounce it slowly. You can repeat it after me. Wow. Wow. Which means wow or ow. Banyak sekali. Banyak sekali. Which means that's a lot. Anting. Anting. Which means earrings. Ibu. Ibu. Which means mother or mom or woman or lady. Wow, banyak sekali anting ibu itu. Wow, banyak sekali anting ibu itu. Which means wow, that lady put on a lot of earrings. Telinga. Telinga. Which means ear. Panjang. Panjang. Which means long. Konon. Konon. Which means it was said or supposedly. Masyarakat. Masyarakat. Which means community or people. Suku Dayak. Suku Dayak. Which means Dayak tribe. Wanita. Wanita. Which means woman. Cantik. Cantik. Which means beautiful. Anak muda. Anak muda. Which means young man or young woman. Tradisi. Tradisi. Which means tradition. In the conversations, you hear this statement, wow. Wow. Banyak sekali anting ibu itu. Wow. Banyak sekali anting ibu itu. Which means wow, that lady put on a lot of earrings. In this sentence, there is an interjection wow. Wow, which means wow or ow, which functions as an exclamation of admiration and amazement. The word wow Wow, which means wow or ow, is used by Chris to express his amazement at the number of earrings worn by a Dayak woman he met. Now, let's listen to other example of the use of interjection wow. Wow, which means wow or ow to express amazement. Wow, megah sekali Candi Borobudur itu. Wow, megah sekali Candi Borobudur itu. Which means wow, how magnificent the Borobudur temple is. Wow, besar sekali Sungai Mahakam ini. Wow, besar sekali Sungai Mahakam ini. Which means wow, how big the Mahakam River is. The Dayak tribe on the island of Borneo has a tradition known as Telingaan Aru. The tradition involves lengthening the ears by using earrings as weight. In Dayak belief, a woman's beauty is not judged by her face, but by the length of her ears. Before closing, let's speak Bahasa Indonesia today. For more clarity, let's listen to the example conversations once again.
Wow, banyak sekali anting ibu itu, sampai telinganya menjadi panjang.
Konon, dalam masyarakat suku Dayak, wanita dengan telinga panjang itu cantik.
Apakah anak muda di sini masih melakukan tradisi itu?
Listeners, that was today's editions of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with a conversation entitled Wow. Wow, which means wow or ow. Hopefully, today's topic is useful for those of you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. We meet again with more lessons. I'm Daniel. Thank you for your attention. Sampai jumpa. Bye-bye.
Terungkit aku dan dia beberapa. jadi patah hati karena ku jatuh cinta lagi.
Of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listeners, up next is a song called Banyu Moto. Banyu Moto is composed by Hari Marwanto. It was released in June 2020 on YouTube. The word Banyu Moto comes from the Japanese language, which means tears. The lyrics itself tells the story of a song written by someone for their beloved, containing a heartfelt promise to remain faithful and loyal to their partner until the end of life. Well, listeners, here is Banyu Moto by Nella Karisma and Dori Harsa. Happy listening.
Kanggo kowe sing paling tak tenani nganti saiki.
Tumete se banyu moto iki sing dadi saksi sumpah lan janji sehidup semati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Special buat yang pernah ditinggal rapi sama mantan pacarnya dulu ya.
Hatiku